Tell us what you mean by the title, the God part of the brain.
Well, essentially what I'm suggesting is that, you know, basically mankind has been on this quest for knowledge of God from the beginning of our species, recorded history
sure.
at least. And, you know, for the most part, we've been looking outward for answers. And in my research, particularly in the science of sociobiology, which studies cross-cultural behaviors and suggests that any universal behavior must have a genetic component, I'm basically suggesting that God is not a reality that exists beyond and independent of us, but that there is a region in our brain, or basically a network of regions that compel the human species to believe in a God, to believe in some form of a spiritual reality and some type of a supernatural entity that sort of watches over and oversees us and basically is the creator of all that is.
Well, now, does that mean that you don't necessarily believe there is a God personally?
Well, yes, I am an atheist, not because I have any bitter issues with any particular religion, but just because as a scientist, after studying years of science and particularly cognitive science, I mean, up until before I wrote this book, I considered myself an agnostic. I was certainly a skeptic, but for the most part, I went with the adage that, you know, no more than there are those out there who can prove there is a God, I had no means of proving that there wasn't one.
Right. And just to some who are probably trying to distinguish the difference between an agnostic and an atheist, as you point out, an agnostic basically is looking for proof. He's not saying there isn't. He just wants to know. I want the proof. Now, an atheist just doesn't believe, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, basically, the root is gnosis, means knowledge, knowing. So agnostic means not knowing. So you just basically sort of accept the fact that it's an unknowable, and which I even allow, even with my philosophy and science, I mean, I still believe that since reality is perception, at the same time, I can't, as what Socrates said, you know, all I know is I know nothing at all. But within the realm of science, everything points to the fact that it's very possible that that this is something that humans have been wired to perceive. So, yes, I believe that everything that we call a spiritual reality, be it gods, souls, afterlives, are just the consequence of an inherited human perception, a predisposition to believe just that. And I write about it really as a coping mechanism. So it sort of takes the foundation of from an evolutionary standpoint and basically suggests that this part of the brain, this compulsion to believe, is something that was selected into the human species through natural selection.
Did you believe ever, even when perhaps you were younger?
Actually, I did. When I was a child, I mean, there was no reason for me not to believe, particularly in light of the fact that whether I went to school or went to my friends' families' homes and saw them pray over dinner, that basically everyone out there was telling me that there is a God. And I even felt that I sensed the presence of a God, which again, now I write as a human impulse to have these experiences. But at the time, I had this sensation that there was something out there. And as a child, I would have conversations with God. And if something went wrong, I would appeal to God. You know, why did this happen? Why does there have to be these bad things in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older and I was told that God was both, all powerful and all good, and I saw that there was a lot of suffering and injustice in the world, I began to think, well, either God is all powerful, but he's not all good, or he's all good, but he's not particularly powerful. But something seemed a little bit awry, and I started taking a more adult look at the, you know, information available to me, and I started studying religion more sort of from an academic perspective. So I started studying world religion, and I started realizing that whatever paradigm I was raised into, which was really minimal anyway, because I wasn't raised in a very religious household, but nevertheless, you know, I was raised in a Western society where I was constantly, you know, exposed to notions of God, whether it's, you know, Judeo-Christianity for the most part. So I began studying different world religions, and I started seeing that every culture has had a paradigm that it believed was the truth. So then I took my studies and began experimenting with transcendental meditation to see if there was anything behind, you know, these altered experiences. Was it possible through certain motions that I could actually transcend the physical realm? Because if I could, that was a very exciting notion to me. I mean, what more exciting thing? And I think most of the listeners of this type of show can relate to that notion, because a lot of them are still seeking, looking for that transcendental property out there, you know, to be able to break free from the chains of physical reality and somehow reach some transcendental state. And as I explored meditation and then even various drugs that different cultures I read about that were using to provoke a spiritual experience, mm-hmm. And none of these, you know, as much as I explored, none of them really offered me anything that seemed like certain proof of a transcendental realm. I mean, granted, my experiences were altered. If I meditated, if I took certain, you know, certain psychedelic drugs, absolutely, it was a shifted perception. But I knew that I was doing something like taking drugs and or meditating, so perhaps it was just a consequence of those actions and not that I was actually having contact with another realm. So I started looking into the sciences and said, well, what does science have to say about this? I mean, science at least can say for itself that it's created some, you know, proof positive products, be it the electric light or the telephone that we're on right now. Science came up with results. So I was like, well, what kind of results could they offer me in terms of knowledge of God? And I looked into, you know, quantum physics and the different sciences that, you know, people were offering maybe would offer some clue to the origins of God or a spiritual realm. And none of them were quite satisfying to me. And then I started studying Edward O. Wilson, who's a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, professor at Harvard, who created the science known as sociobiology. And the premise of sociobiology, as I said before, is that any trait that's universal, any behavior that's universal to any species must have a genetic component. So, for instance, the fact that all dogs bark or cats meow or beavers right. build dams or, you know,
Or people kill,
just grooming behaviors, reproductive behaviors, all of them, they're universal. And the same rule applies to human beings.